And we're back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, soundcloud.com/Taylor-report, and facebook.com/The Taylor Report. And I believe we are joined, are we not, by Freddy Usabuera, pardon me. Are you there, Freddy?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. Forgive me, I stumbled over your name. But you have an organization. Actually, I'm going to ask you to say it because I want people to know about it. What's the name of the .org organization?
Yeah, the name is actually, thanks for having me, Phil, today. The name of the organization is Amahoro Iwachu 2017 Campaign, so which means Peace at Home 2017.
Peace at home?
Peace at home.
Okay.
Peace at home.
So if they learn to say that, they'll be able to say in Kinyarwanda, peace at
home.
And I'll spell it out for them. It is AMAHORIWACU 17.org, right? Or is it just .org?
There is no
17.
No 17. It's just amahoriwachu.org.
.org. Well, yes. Again, thanks for joining us. Now, you have taken up the campaign, the big one, of fighting for democracy in your country. But, of course, it centers partly around the two women that we've come to know, Victoire Ingabire, and, of course, more recently, Diane Wigara. You have quite a list of people, prominent Rwandans, who have been taken off the streets, badly treated. Some have lost their lives. Tell us about your organization and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes, thank you very much, Phil. Actually, our campaign was launched in London in summer 2015. And that was an idea that was brought out by someone, a youth living abroad, to see how we can bring about change in Rwanda, because we have a dictatorship that's oppressing the people there. And the reason being that in 2015, the news came out that Paul Kagame, the actual president, was planning to change the constitution in order to be able to go for a third term of a presidential election. And we found that it was not a good idea because of what's going on in Rwanda. And we started campaigning, especially campaigning to Rwandans and also taxpayers in the countries we live in. Like myself, I live here in Canada. I am a Canadian. We pay taxes, and our taxes end up going helping a government that's oppressing the people. And the aim of our campaign was to tell the taxpayers in Canada and abroad that, you know, they should call on the government of Canada, you know, to look closely to what the government of Rwanda is doing with our taxes, which ended up to be, instead of being development aid, you know, Canada will send, or some other foreign countries will send money for programs for development and other things, you know, to help the people. But then they use them to oppress the people, you know, buying arms and, you know, and putting out the police and going to catch people just, and, excuse me, and refusing them their rights, whichever, you know, basic rights they can be.
Yes.
Now,
how do you feel? This is a difficult process. Now, I guess I should peg this also. You just had Ingabire Day, wasn't it, this past Saturday? Just to underline that there is international support for your work, and it, of course, focuses on her, in that she's been in jail now for, what is it, 4 years?
It's been 7 years right now.
Seven years.
7 years in jail for only having tried to present herself against Kagame in presidential election in 2010. Okay, for those who are following us, just a little bit history about Ingabire. She's a lady that lived outside of the country for over 16 years. And in 2010, she decided to go back in Rwanda. She arrived in Kigali, the capital of Rwanda, on January the 16th. And she went to visit the memorial, genocide memorial, and in her speech she called on, you know, the true reconciliation and peace for Rwanda, saying that all the people that lost their loved ones you know, she'll be remembered. And from that day, she started getting in trouble because they said she was denying the genocide, which was not true. And it's just because they were afraid, because she was going to have a big impact. You know, she had so many funds in the country, and the pouvoir, you know, the government was afraid that she might just gain the election.
Indeed. And then,
democracy
might break out.
That's right. And then she was put on house arrest for a few months. And in October, on the 14th of October, actually, 2010, she was arrested, officially arrested, and accused of trying to bring trouble in country, and also accused of denying the genocide, wrongly accused. Okay, and that's the reason why on this Saturday, actually, there was an international day called Ingabire Day that was launched a few years ago by the Rwandan community in Lyon in France. And this time it was organized by together with other organizations like the IWNDP, the International Women Network for Democracy and Peace. Okay. And Jambo ASPL, which is a youth organization in Belgium that it's a human rights organization. Amaho Iwachu, of course, which I represent here in Canada. Actually, I'm the spokesman for Amaho Iwachu here in Canada. And Friends of Victoire in London. And AGLAN, that some probably of our listeners might know, the African Great Lakes Action Network in Tennessee. And there was a gala organized in Belgium on Saturday, and there was also one in London, and also South Africa, Spain, Austria. And yesterday, there was also another event here in Montreal organized by the IWNDP in that matter also, and it was also to recognize all those young people that have an impact in trying to change things in Rwanda. And the prize for this went yesterday to Diane Shima Rwigara, who's in jail right now because also she tried to run against President Paul Kagame in the last elections in August. Yes, that's what happened.
Is she also her mother and her sister, I believe?
Yes.
This is going to turn out to be rather interesting, too, because her sister is an American citizen, but that might
That's
open
right.
one eye of the great power.
Yes, right. I actually feel thanks for bringing that on because we are trying to call on people to call. She's an American citizen, and we are trying to tell people to try to call the White House or even the Foreign Affairs in the U.S. to ask that you know they ask Rwanda to release their citizen because that. You know, what's happening in Rwanda right now, it's terrible. You know, people are oppressed because of their ideas. You know, there are so many political prisoners and also prisoners of conscience. And now there is this family here that has been wrongly accused after they killed actually their dad and also destroyed the hotel. You know, a 30 million value hotel was destroyed just in order to to bring them to bankruptcy and to stop them of, you know, bringing out what they know and also to block Diana from presenting herself to the election.
This is Freddie Usubuera, and it's Amahori Waku.
Amahori Wachu. Amahori Wachu, yes.
Wachu. I'll spell it out again. M-A-M-A. HORIWACU.org. Please go to that site. I mean, you've been up against an information barrier, have you not? I mean, the work of people in the diaspora and others who care has been that we're facing a kind of a blackout in that they don't want to hear in mainstream media, frankly, bad things about their ally, Mr. Kagame. Yet the bad things are piling up, right?
Yes, yes. That's a problem I've been going through for the last 23 years. For all those listeners that are following, just to know a little bit about Rwanda is being said to be one of the the most growing economy in Africa, which is wrong. You know, that's totally wrong, because it has been proven that all the numbers that the government of Rwanda is putting out to, you know, to...
David Himbara has an excellent book. What's it called? The Myth forget the title, but he used to serve Paul Kagame as an assistant and as an advisor, and he showed that this economy is basically a fraud, that it depends on American money, basically.
Yes, actually, Rwanda is receiving, for the last 23 years, Rwanda has been receiving 40% of the budget of Rwanda. Mm-hmm. It's made of aid. And people, for the people to understand, you know, how come then, if the Rwanda, if the country is developing, is keeping getting money, you know, to run? That doesn't make sense. You know, because if a country is developing, that means there will be incomes coming from, you know, taxpayers and also. Mm-hmm. But Rwanda doesn't have those, you know, those things in place to make the country run perfectly. That's why they keep getting money. But the wrong side of it is that they get money and then they use it for something else, you know, especially oppressing the people. Yes. And that's the reason why actually in our campaign, you know, we are working hard to erase to raise the awareness to the people, you know, so they can join us, you know, wherever they are, all over the peace and democracy, you know, mm-hmm. to help us bring about peace in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm. And you, there's undoubtedly there is this issue of a government which it uses its position to define, to criminalize opponents. So you pointed out that Ingabire Victoire returned to her country. She's a non-combatant. She was not in the country in 1994. But like other Rwandans, she lost loved ones. She cannot say what ethnic group they belong to, because that would be a crime.
That's right. And the other thing about Ingabire, because, you know, she's been living outside of the country, but she's been really voicing out to help, you know, kids and women, you know. And she decided to go back to Rwanda because she believed that as a Rwandan, she can, you know, help and raise those issues and bring about democracy and peace. But she's a mother, actually. She's a mother of three. And ever since got in Rwanda, she's in jail now. They refused to even contact with her family and mm-hmm. her kids. And she's still in jail. And something else can bring up is she just brought her kids and to the African Court of Justice, for
yes.
Mm-hmm. People's Court for Justice and Democracy in Africa. The People's Rights Court in Africa,
yes.
And now we are waiting for you know, the decision. Mm-hmm. And at the time when she just went, she brought the issue there. Rwanda, being a member, decided to withdraw. You know, which is very strange.
No, that was a great victory, frankly, because it shows which of them has the moral upper hand. Victoire, who put her case, was prepared to put her case into the court, and the government of Paul Kagame decided to run over the hill and hide. It has to be encouraging to you for your work. By the way, her writings are available. If people go to AmahoreWatu.org, it's through there you can find her writings, right?
Yes, you can find her writings, and also on friendsofvictoire.org. That's another organization that has actually helped to publish on Saturday, her book that she wrote from jail, which is amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. She wrote it in French, but now it was translated in English, but, you know, and Friends of Victoire is the one that has done that tremendous job, and now the book is even available on Amazon, you know, and the title of the book is Between the Walls of 1930s Prison, mm-hmm. you know, because that's the name of the prison where she is. Uh-huh. So people can go and buy the book and read it, you know, and know more about what's going on in Rwanda and who she is.
Yes. I'd like to say, it always strikes me, I see photographs ever, and we really ought to underline what courage it took for her to deliver herself into the hands of, frankly, a criminal government in order to stand up for her people. I mean, this is extremely brave, and she's been in prison, now you say, for 7 years. And when I see her, her head is shaved. Are they still shaving her head? They go to is this some sort of macabre exercise of theirs?
Yes, that's what they do. Actually, that's a type of humiliation, too. You know,
of course it is.
Yes. And, I mean, she's still there, and they still shave her head. And I remember that even before she went to Rwanda, she was here in Montreal. She came here. She made even some parliamentarian of the Canadian government and everybody else, you know, some politicians here in Quebec. And I remember I was even at her press conference, and we asked questions telling her, you know, how can you go? Because we know whatever's going to happen, you know, they're going to arrest you or torture you. And she said straight that, no, I am ready. You know, we can't just keep looking at and watching from outside, let our people suffer. She said herself that she was ready for anything that can happen to her, jail or even to die, but defending the people of Rwanda and defending the human rights and democracy.
Well, I think Rwanda has a great future, but when it's going to have to mark her as one of the most heroic people in its history, Victoire Ingabire. Freddie Usubuwera, we're very grateful you could be with us, and I hope people go to amahorewachu.org. And we look forward to talking to you again. You obviously are going to be at this a while. This is going to be heavy work.
Yes, yes, it is. And I thank you very much for allowing me to speak to your listeners. And those who are following us, they can also contact us, sending us emails at info@amahorewachu.org. And also they can follow us on Facebook. And I thank you again, Phil.
Okay.
And hoping to talk to you again soon.
Well, we look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT, and it's 89.5 FM, soundcloud.com/Taylor-report, and facebook.com/The Taylor Report.